This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As the seal of this blessed gathering and the topic that we have covered, alhamdulillah, not fully collectively, but inshallah, we have covered the most important thing that you need about this issue, and that is the importance of the heart. And as a result of what I've been saying, that the softened heart helps on remembering Allah, helps on running to Allah. Those who have the one who has a softer heart will be a better runner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah ordered us to run to Him by saying فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So the more your heart is soft, the more you'll be running to Allah. The more your heart is soft, the more you'll be rushing to do the good deeds. So much keen to do the good deed. As I mentioned before, that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu used to be accompanying the funeral until it's been the funeral has been performed for it. A funeral is being performed. Based on his knowledge of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever accompany a funeral till it's performing prayer, yani janazah prayer, he'll be having one qirat of ajr. And the reward of qirat, the reward of the one qirat, is as the mountain of Uhud. But he did not know the continuation of the hadith. So some of the companions told him that the Prophet said also, in addition to this, and whoever accompany the funeral until it will be buried, he'll be having two qirats of ajr. Two. Then Abdullah bin Umar said, oh, that means we have been indulgent with many qirats. We have missed, we have lost many qirats then. He's regretting that he did not accompany the funeral to its burial. So you can see that the more you have soft heart, the more you'll be, and also the more you'll be sincere. And also, the more you'll be dealing in a better way with your brothers. Because we complain sometimes, we deal with one another in a harsh way. When we go outside, mashallah, we have to deal with the attitude, with the lifestyle outside. But we need the Islamic lifestyle. We need the Islamic style to deal with one another. Sometimes we are harsh. Why is this? There's a problem in the heart. We have to soften the heart. We have to maintain it. It's very important. Eventually, there is no entrance to paradise if those hearts still have a problem. The one who enters paradise, his heart must be saleem, pure, sound. No entrance into paradise unless you have a sound heart. If you deserve to enter paradise, but you don't have enough sound heart, some purification should take place before you enter. So make sure that purify it here before it will be purified for you there. You may lose something there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed and threatened those who have hardened heart, because the hardened heart automatically will shackle you from the remembrance of Allah. That's why Allah said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Not only this, He didn't say, woe to those who have hardened hearts. He said, from the remembrance of Allah. فَوَيْلُ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. He didn't stop here. He said, مِن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, from the remembrance of Allah. Which means to say that if you have a hardened heart, it will shackle you from the remembrance of Allah. And the solution, as we mentioned, dhikr, dua, improving your salah. Listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. But you come to prayer here, then you go out and you find yourself frustrated from being able to control yourself against fahsha and munkar. What is the matter? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala failed in His promise? He told us in the Quran that salah prohibits, helps to prevent you from fahsha and munkar. Oh, maybe salah had not been performed in the best way, so it will be giving that effect. So improve your prayer. And I swear by Allah, if you say to me, I cannot stop the sin, I say, okay, I'm not going to say to you, stop the sin. But I'm going to say to you, improve your prayer and struggle. This is your jihad. You know people, they say that way, jihad, here. This jihad is here. If you cannot, if you fail to make that kind, to fulfill that kind of jihad, you will fail to make the jihad outside. This is the jihad now, which is available. It's available. It's a struggle between and the devil every time. My brother, do you have any complaint about theft here, stealing the shoes? Did you have that problem before? Who lost his shoes before here? No
phone,
one?
Phone.
Yeah, there are.
Phones. Okay, be careful. Watch out. The thieves of the phones. What else? The shoes? Okay, the shoes. The Quran? Books? Yeah? Also books?
No.
No books? Those thieves are not interested in learning. Okay? But there's a worst kind of thief that comes always here. A thief who steals your prayer. He's trying to think. Since he could not stop you from coming to the mosque, at least, let me sleep, let me steal from his prayer. And he's described by the Prophet ﷺ that he is sariq. And he is the worst sariq. He is the worst thief ever. Because he's stealing from your prayer. So be careful. This is a struggle. Do it. Improve yourself. Be a better Muslim. And I swear by Allah that even the 1 second I watch myself and remember the importance of improving the prayer and I practice it, I feel a great deal of sweetness in my heart. The moment I remember that and I try to practice it. Do that and you'll feel a delight. Wallahi. This Islam, these places, these are parts of Jannah. These are the Riyadh gardens of this life. Without it, the believer cannot live. It's just like a fish that you cannot let it live outside of the water. Likewise, it's a matter of the believer. The believer needs these places of iman. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our hearts and your hearts into faith and iman, and to make us better Muslims until the moment we die, and that the best of our deeds be what will be sealed of our deeds. Jazakumullahu khairan wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Stay here one bit.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين وصلي وسلم على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to take too long, باذن الله تعالى. Just a short thing, inshallah, just to pick up on the talk of inshallah, tabarakallah, very inspiring talk, mashallah, tabarakallah, and on the story of Malik ibn Dinar, rahimahullah ta'ala, when the thief came in into the house of Malik ibn Dinar, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Brother Nawad, mashallah, tabarakallah, he mentioned that even the thieves at that time, they knew the haqq of the Muslim. They knew the rights of a Muslim. So when he reminded him about the 3 days, that his right, basically, to stay with him. So on that point, we were on a journey once, myself and my family, and my brother and his family, and we were all on the way, on our journey to a place from Medina, we were actually heading to Yanbu, and we were all in one car, it was packed actually, and it was a very old car, Toyota Cressida, quite an old car, and we had some trouble on the way, and alhamdulillah, eventually after some trouble we reached Yanbu, and we were there, alhamdulillah. Then on the way back we again had troubles, and we reached Badr. You know Badr. Badr from Ghazwat Badr, mashallah, tabarakallah, yani subhanallah. The village of Badr, we reached it very late at night, and we had serious problems with our car. So we stopped at a petrol station and we wanted to sleep there. We had a rest about 2-3 hours in the masjid, and we thought we're going to sort out our car the next day, inshallah. So we slept in the masjid, and then the imam came in. Now the imam, he had quite a hard heart, not really welcoming. And he was very angry to see all of us in the masjid, and he came to know that there were even sisters and children over there in the musalla behind the curtain. It was a very old masjid, but... So he was very furious and very angry at us and saying, how can you sleep here? This is a masjid, this is a Allahu Akbar. And he was going on and on and on. And we were just listening and we were just surprised. How can that be? So I didn't want to be rude to that man. So we reminded him about the haqq of a Muslim, that this is the haqq of a Muslim, that you can stay with your brother for 3 days if you wish. So he contemplated a little bit, and he thought about this hadith, and he said, you know what, actually, there's no problem, you can actually stay in the masjid, there's no problem at all, inshallah, just stay here, relax a little bit, inshallah, and when it is morning, you go and make your car, inshallah. So his heart softened, mashallah, by the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, the actual thing that I wanted to tell you today, alhamdulillah, is... the legacy which, alhamdulillah, Brother Noel was speaking about as well, which is that we need to think seriously to leave something behind, and we should wish good. We should wish good for the Muslims and also the non-Muslims. And many of us, mashallah, tabarakallah, they always think about, you know, benefiting the Muslims, alhamdulillah, but what about the non-Muslims around us? Who's going to call them to Islam, basically? Just one example. By one of the most prominent Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, by the name of Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr. Who knows who is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr? Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Now, Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, the scholars, they actually differed on his real name. There are about 30 odd opinions, but the most famous one is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr, radiallahu anhu. Now, he came to Medina at a very late stage, when it was about 7 after Hijrah. So he spent with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam some 3 years, probably a little bit more than that. But in that very short period, he transmitted some 5,374 hadiths, as some scholars mentioned. This is a great number. It's actually no Sahaba reported more hadiths than Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu. Now, if you read in the story and in the biography of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he was a man very humble. Very, very humble. And he was caring for the people. He was caring for the Muslims. That's why he was actually learning to be able to spread the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there was somebody else he was really worried about. And this story is in Sahih Muslim. Once he came to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was crying. Abu Huraira was crying. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking him about the reason, why are you crying? So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I had a talk with my mom, with my mother, and she wasn't a Muslim. At that time, she was not a Muslim. So we had a discussion and she mentioned something about you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which I didn't like. So I left the house and I came to the masjid, and that's why I'm crying. So please, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, make dua for my mother to become Muslim. Look at this. He was caring for his mother. And that's how we should care for the non-Muslims, beginning from our families, and then our relatives, and then our neighbors, and the people around us. Who is going to teach them about Islam if it is not you and me? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a very, very simple dua. He said, Allahumma ihdi umma Abi Huraira. And that's it. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu calmed down, relaxed a little bit, and he went home. And as he wanted to enter, usually he knocked the door. and he wanted to enter, but he heard a voice from inside saying, "Stop, stay where you are, don't move." Allahu Akbar. What's this? So he stayed and he waited. And he heard water dropping inside a house, as if somebody's taking a shower. And after a short while, his mother opened the door, and you could see the water dropping from her face. And the words which she said to welcome Abu Hurairah, these words, we spoke about them yesterday. These words were, "La ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." Abu Hurairah was happy. Abu Hurairah was Allahu Akbar. He went back to the masjid and he was crying again. He was crying again, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him and he was asking him, "What's wrong with you now? Just a little while ago you came and you were crying. So what's wrong?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, this time I'm crying, but I'm not crying because I'm sad. This time I'm crying because my mother just became Muslim. So I'm crying because I'm happy. So please, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make a dua. Make a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us, I, him and his mom, from those who the believers will love and we will love them." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered. And he made dua. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu used to say, "There is no believer, no mu'min, who hears about me or who sees me, but will love me and my mother." Subhanallah. This qissa is in Sahih Muslim. Go and read the explanation of it. It's fascinating and it's heart-touching. And it is something we should really take into practice. A lot of things we know theoretically. But when do we start to put it in practice? As it is mentioned, make every nasiha you hear, whether it is here in this masjid, or it's on the internet, wherever you hear a nasiha, doesn't matter how small it is, make it a life-turning nasiha. A life-turning nasiha. Don't just hear and say, "Mashallah, tabarak." Actually, take it, contemplate, and from that very moment, make it a life-changing nasiha bi-ithni Allahi ta'ala. Aqulu ma tasma'un hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah, amma ba'd. A lot of people don't know this, but Abu Bilal and I were students together at the Islamic University of Medina, and we were actually classmates in the first year of Sharia. So this is the first time I've seen Abu Bilal in a very long time. And we were catching up today, and we shared a lot of stories. So we were talking about, what are some of the things that you remember the most from Medina? And it was a beautiful story, subhanAllah. And I want to share this with you. We keep emphasizing the point that everything you hear, you want to act upon. And this is what it truly means to be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That everything you hear, you actually act upon it. So Abu Bilal was sitting in the dust one day, and the Shaykh's phone rang. And when the phone rang, he excused himself and he had to leave. And there was that statement that nothing gets in the way of a believer except for two things. A believer will continue to do everything and not stop for anything except for when it comes to two things. The time for salah and when your mother calls. And I thought to myself, finally, of all of the things that you studied at Medina University, how did this manage to stick out the most? But it's a profound lesson that this is what true scholarship is all about. This is what true Islam is all about. It's not about how much knowledge you actually have, but rather it's what are you doing with the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Are you implementing it in your life? So I'm going to mention four nasihas altogether, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and I want you to enumerate them with me, memorize them, and leave the conference with it, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So number one, everything that you heard over the past 2 days, write it down, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Make sure you don't forget it, and try to implement it to the best of your ability. people come and give you nasiha, not just for the sake of entertaining you, not just for the sake of boring you, but rather for the sake of you getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's point number one. Point number two, the scholars that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. The scholars that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that 5,000 people used to gather in the circles of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. From those 5,000, only 500 approximately were writing down what he used to say. The rest of the students were observing the akhlaq of Imam Ahmad, were observing his character. And that's what you want to focus on as Muslims, as beginner students of knowledge. Where is your akhlaq? Where is the character? You know, it's very sad, subhanAllah, that you know, you see brothers with big beards, you see other aspects of the sunnah upon our brothers and sisters, but when it comes to their interaction with other individuals, sometimes they're even worse than the disbelievers. Where is the impact of that knowledge? So as you're leaving this conference, you want to make sure it's changing your adab and your akhlaq as well, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Point number three, your relationship with the scholars. There's a very profound statement of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes death to the hearts of the people before He causes death to their bodies due to their disrespect for the scholars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes death to the hearts of people before He causes death to their bodies due to their disrespect of their scholars. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with a lot of students of knowledge in the city of London. And perhaps some of you may be continuing to study with them regularly. And I pray and you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the tawfiq to do so. But learn, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are meant to respect the people of knowledge and amongst you. That when you respect the students of knowledge and the mashayikh amongst you, then bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate your status as well, and He will put a barakah in your knowledge like He has not put for anyone else. That be in the service of your mashayikh, be in the service of your students of knowledge, help them out in their da'wah, be as supportive as you can, and bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you and your communities. And I want to conclude with the fourth piece of advice. This last piece of advice, the green socks. How do you want to be remembered when you pass away? I told you yesterday I went to Masala, and the brother introduced himself, he told me everything about him, but I couldn't remember anything about him except for his bright green socks. That's what clicked in my mind. As he was coming in, as he was leaving, I just kept focusing on those green socks. Now, inshallah, I pray that I meet him again, I get to know him better, and you know, learn something else about him. But it was a lesson for me, that you know, when I pass away, how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to make me remembered amongst the people? And this is a question you want to ask yourself, that when you truly do pass away, how will you be remembered? Have you done enough for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can say, مَاتَ الْيَوْمُ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ. And Jibreel is saying it, the Prophet ﷺ is saying it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it. You know, who wouldn't want that ending? But in order to attain such an ending, you have to be in the service of the people during the day and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night. And that is what the soft heart is all about. So let's go through those four pieces of advice again, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Who remembers them? Start me off. What was number one? First piece of advice. Go for it.
When someone gives you a nasiha, they're not giving it to bore you.
That was a point derived from it. But act upon everything that you learned in this conference. If whatever you remember, write it down. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught you to read and write, so that you can write it down. And that's the very first lesson, that we had to wait a good couple of seconds for someone to remember. Had you written it down, you would have remembered right away. So if you have a pen and paper, write it down, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. What was lesson number two? What was the second lesson I mentioned?
Change your akhlaq.
Change your akhlaq, excellent. The importance of your akhlaq towards other people. That the soft heart necessitates that you're good towards other people. And as a Muslim, as a person practicing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what the conference was all about. Changing your adab and changing your akhlaq towards people. What was number three? Respect towards the scholars and supporting the people in their da'wah. This is what you need to do as a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have not made you a scholar, but it does not mean that you cannot support the da'wah and support the scholars. And what's the last piece of advice?
Green socks.
How do you want green socks, exactly? How do you want to be remembered after you pass away? Do you want to be remembered with the green socks, or do you want to be remembered as مَاتَ الْيَوْمَ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity in everything that we do and grant us righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us in al-Fardaws al-A'la with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali and the rest of the companions. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khairan.